Mr. Chairman, thank you, and to these colleagues who joined today for very powerful, very eloquent statements. Mr. Chairman, thanks to you for your initiative and leadership in convening this meeting this morning. You mentioned your visit recently to Radio Free Europe headquarters in Prague, and you kindly praised our Afghan service and the interaction with the audiences and the bags and bags of letters we get each week. And Congressman Royce, you know a lot about that. You led on this from the beginning. You didn't mention, you failed to mention, that you helped a little bit too, and you were kind enough to do an interview for us that reached those people and took part in that interaction. And to you, Mr. Chairman, and everybody on the committee, thank you for holding this meeting, this hearing today, for many reasons, but one that you might overlook, if I may say. We do have, in fact, as you alluded to, hundreds, and I think I'm certain I speak for Dan also, hundreds of people who work for us, most of whom come from these countries where we broadcast. And I think that at times they can feel a little bit out of sight, out of mind. And as your colleague said, they risk a great deal. And I think this hearing that you convened this morning is a tribute to them, and I thank you for that. It's deeply appreciated. Mr. Chairman, I met recently a young Czech woman who asked me where I work, and I told her where, and it didn't ring a bell to her. She must have been 21, 22, 23. She said, okay, Radio Free Europe, you know, okay. She said, what do you do? I mean, what does it do? And I told her a little bit about what we do, and then a light bulb went on. And she said, you know, my grandfather, after the Second World War, listened to Radio Free Europe. And she said, I remember him getting so frustrated and angry with the changes in our country after the Second World War and communism, dictatorship, that he took his radio one day, he put it in the window, and he started blasting it down to the street below. And the next thing, true story, as I say, you can't make this sort of thing up. She said, then they came for my grandfather, took him away, and we never saw him again. And she said, no, I know what Radio Free Europe is. It didn't ring a bell at first. If you're in my business, you come across these stories literally all the time. And literally, they remind you of very basic things. One is the power of free media. As an indispensable part of civil society, of democracy, of freedom. You and some of your colleagues alluded to the fact that it was only 20 years ago. I'm living in a country, Prague. Only 20 years ago. This was the world of Soviet communism, Berlin Wall, Iron Curtain, and it's gone. It's down. You were there this summer. I don't know how deeply you think about it when you come, how deeply I think about it every day when I work there. The Czech Republic is a member of NATO. The Czech Republic is a member of the European Union. Czech Republic is a key ally of the United States on everything from culture to commerce. 20 years ago, it was profoundly different. You were there this summer, Mr. Wexler. The President of the United States was there this summer in Prague. The Secretary of State was in Prague this summer. Well, Václav Havel, Mr. Wilson referred to him. He was with us recently, too. He lives in Prague. You can't make this sort of thing up. A man who was a chain-smoking playwright who became a leader of a democracy movement and then president of a free Czech Republic. He came over to our new building about 3 months ago. He actually ran for us an editorial meeting where he, President Havel, ex-President Havel, sat with Afghan colleagues, Iranian colleagues, Russian colleagues, Bosnian colleagues, Ukrainian colleagues, and he told them that what they do today is every bit as important as what we did then. And he told him, you know, it's not just about news and information, and we need that, reliable, accurate, honest, truthful. He told them, Václav Havel, that this provides intellectual nourishment, moral inspiration, and the very seeds of civil society and democratic growth and development. Mr. Chairman, let me make 2 points, and then I'll conclude. I think when people ask me, including Americans when I travel, including my own family in North Carolina, who ask me, why does it make sense? What is it? What does it do? Why should I pay for it as an American taxpayer? I say there's 2 things to consider. I'm speaking for my company, but I think Dan Austin broadly would sign on to these things too, if I may say. The first thing is this is a work, organization, institution of ideals and idealism, and it is in the best of American traditions. It is bipartisan, it supports American values, and it supports American values that, as the president reminds frequently, are universal. When I travel to our countries, whether it's Central Asia or Russia, whether it's the Caucasus, I often meet with representatives of foreign governments who don't always like what we do. And they suggest at times that we're out to propagandize or dictate or impose or manipulate. And I always say, we don't do that. It's not the mission. It's not the character. It's not the spirit. And I try, Mr. Chairman, in a non-patronizing way, if I may say, I always bring this little blue book with me. And when I sit with that government official of a foreign country, I say, Mr. Minister, this is the United Nations Declaration on Universal Human Rights. It's not an American dictate. It's not an American partisan issue. And Article 19 says that every citizen of this planet should have access to a free flow of information and ideas regardless of border and frontiers. That's all we do. Nothing more, nothing less. It's an American value, it's a universal value, and it's very idealistic. The second point I make is, it's idealistic, but we're not in the charity business. It's not a charity. What we do supports American interests. It supports enlightened American interest. And I believe, Mr. Chairman and colleagues, if you believe in development and democracy, or let me put it another way, if you believe in combating and fighting things like nationalism and extremism, if you believe in fighting and combating things like anti-Semitism and anti-Americanism, if you're an American policymaker, you have to avail yourself of the full spectrum of policy opportunities and instruments. But, I don't think you get any traction if you don't believe, support, and pursue the free flow of information and ideas, discussion, debate, dissent, no matter what country, what time, what place. Let me conclude. The Secretary of State came. You came this summer. The President of the United States came this summer. We have the treasure of Václav Havel living and visiting us frequently there in Prague. Secretary of State came this summer, and she said this kind of broadcasting is smart power at its best. And, of course, we like hearing that. But we think it's true. We think it is smart power at its best because it is cost-effective, and it actually works. And I'm very eager to hear from you about what you're interested in and what Dan and I do and what our organizations do. But I'll tell you what, the list of examples of how it works is endless. It can be profound, like in Afghanistan, where a would-be suicide bomber, calls up and says, I've had a change of heart. I listened to you. There's another way. It's an alternative. I want out. It can be very simple and practical and maybe equally profound, a program that we do in Kiev on maternity options for health care. Or in Ukraine recently, there was a study on the most polluted cities in Ukraine. Well, we're the ones who not only reported on the report but told our listeners, if you have kids, how do you care for them? How do you protect them? How do you address their health concerns if you're living in a polluted city? Well, 20 years ago, part of Europe has prospered tremendously, the Czech Republic. But I don't have to tell you, the job isn't done. It was 20 years ago that a president called for a Europe whole and free, and we're about halfway there. Or maybe we're 60% there, or 47% there. There's an immense amount to be done. I think we play an important role. We'd like to be of service to you. We'd like to be accountable and of service to the American taxpayers. And if I may say in conclusion, like the countries we broadcast, Mr. Chairman, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty is a work in progress. And I invite you to help us make it better. I think we're going to profit from the discussion this morning. Thank you, sir.